This year is brought to you by Eshel Publications. Eshel Publications is a non-profit organization dedicated to spreading the Torah, Shiurim, and Sefarim of Rabbi Aaron Lapiansky. For sponsorships or more information, visit eshelpublications.com.
Okay, good vach. So we're holding here in Parshas Vayera, where I have marked off by me is at page 140. We have Avram's, a small Avinezra that finds interesting remez. Avinezra is discussing about the different numbers that were offered, how come, to save Stoim. So we'll just see the last line of Avinezra. what comes out is that he comes down to 10 in Stoim. So the musig of asura being a chashav number to be mispalel, you have from the fact that it didn't go less than 10. So it's interesting. In the pasuk itself, it just talks about the schus, which so you can sort of shtalitzu, but actually in the Yonason ben Azil, in Targum Yonason, he says that 10, he says, how would 10 save everybody? He says, if there would be 10 in one place, and I would be the addition, we could daven for all the others. So there's a remez for 10 being tefillah b'tzibur. I want to add a point in general about these things, that the Maral says this in many places. The Maral speaks about places where Chazal attribute a drabbana to deraisa. The best example is viskadashim yisam k'toshim, that we learn mayim reshayim mayim achronim, they're not deraises. So how do you learn viskadashim yisam k'toshim? So the Maral says, it's a lot more than just a remez in the pasuk. The Maral says, the rabbanans, I don't know if it's all the rabbanans, many rabbanans, they are dinim midoraisa, but the chiyuv is not a deraisa. In other words, the Torah tells us that this type of inyan is correct. The Torah, but doesn't place it within the framework of mitzvahs and averis. So viskadashim v'sim k'toshim does mean mayim rishonim, mayim achronim. There's a musig of being miskadish. The Torah did not place any mitzvah to it, and therefore there's no chiyuv. The chiyuv is rabbanim, but the mitzvah is. But the point is a deraisa. This would be very much the same. It would mean that the idea of tefillah basora, the Torah speaks about. Here we have, especially the way that the Eretz Brazil says it, we have a tefillah of 10 people, or a tefillah on behalf of 10 people, being a davar chashuv, the institutionalizing of it and the mandating it, that's a rabbanan. Okay, next piece of Rabbeinu Bechaya. It says, Vayelech Hashem kashakil devil Avram, Avram shovlim koimai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there was a siluk ashchina after he spoke to Avram, and Avram shovlim koimai. So Rabbeinu Bechaya gives an additional hez havana in what the shavlim koimai. For after the farsh oidlim koimai, ligvul hagashoysav umidas gufoy. When a Navi gets nevua, except for Moshe Rabbeinu, the Rambam says, and that's, I mean, the Gemara says, and the Psukim is say, the Navi loses himself. The Navi falls on his face. The Navi loses control of himself. And the reason is because it's too much for the person to receive the nevuah in his guf. So to speak, the guf is not a kli kibul that's appropriate for that amount of kedusha, except for Moshe Rabbeinu's guf. And b'meila, it's almost as if the person's nefesh, neshama, had to leave his guf. He was in a different world, so to speak. So when the nevuah finished, L'gvul hagashosav umidas gufoy. Avram's neshama retreated back into his guf. As long as the Shekhinah was with him, he was completely beyond the sense of the physical. That meant that his neshama was disassociated from his body. All that existed between him and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was that nefesh. It went back again into his guf. Avram Shavlim Mekomo, a makom is a place that circumscribes you. It's the place that contains you. So Avram, once he finished talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he had to return. There was a concept like that by Chassidish Rebbes, you know, of called his Pashas Aguf, his Pashas Agashmias, along the lines of when they were davening, they would have, if the Rebbe was somebody who was very, very mechaven, they would have somebody stand ready to shake him awake in case he would go too far and be gone. But it has a mucker, the concept has a mucker over here, that the things that are during Nevuah, the Nefesh HaAdam goes beyond itself. It's very interesting. If you look at the Rambam, when he speaks about Nevuah, he gives two different madrigas of Nevuah. There's a darg of Nevuah that he calls Ruach HaKodesh and Nevuah. The difference is as follows. Both of them, both Ruach HaKodesh and Nevuah, go take a person to beyond where he is. He understands things that he never could have understood on his own. And the way the Rambam describes Ruach HaKodesh is, once a person reaches that madrega, he begins to understand with a mind, with an understanding that's not his own, and he is aware of the fact that this is happening to him. In other words, Ruach HaKodesh is the person is cognizant of what happened to him. Nevuah, the person loses it, and the person goes beyond, and that's why his guf and so on and so forth. So both Ruach HaKodesh and Nevuah is a type of understanding that goes beyond the person's seichel and so on. It's a gift milamala. The difference is Ruach HaKodesh remains within the person's metzias. The person hasn't stopped being who he is, as opposed to Nevuah, which is beyond. It's very interesting.
Nevuah is a higher madriga. Nevuah is a higher madriga.
Of course, that's the order. You find in the Ravid, he uses the term Ukvar Hafia Ruach HaKodesh Bebeis Midrashenu, and people sort of comment on it. It's a remark. People comment, how could you pass him with Ruach HaKodesh? And the answer is Ruach HaKodesh, you possibly could pass him because the person is a person. It's me. My seichel got expanded. So in a certain sense, it's my seichel, but with a boost to it. So it does not go beyond Das Adam. Now, it doesn't preclude someone arguing with it. You can't pull a Ruach HaKodesh card and tell me I can't argue because I have Ruach HaKodesh. But it's still considered Das Adam. Mashenki Nevuah, which is beyond, and that's certainly a Navi can't be Mechadish Tavern, Kedu, and so on. Okay, let's see the next piece. Next piece is an Akeda. It's a fascinating perspective on Averis of a Tzibur and so on. So here it's talking about Stoim, where the Anshei Stoim told him he should come to here, you know, and Vayikshulish Baradelis. Ubimedrish. Ha'echad bologu Vayishbait Shafoid, din Sherotza Rishonim at the Bol Abed. They told him it's a tradition. It's a tradition stone that this is how we treat guests. So chutzpah, that you want to be oika mini kaddish from our unholy office. Rabbi Nachum Shevibu Arma Kane Histan Shistem Benim Omer Kolach Sanoi Shabolikani Aboilam Isaitas Mamine. Then the that's obviously I skip pieces. Vidim Zen is back about Sicheskel when he said Zehaya Ovenstein Machoisek, we had Anibem Lechzika, Vakavona Sheshomolem Kane Lechoikol Animus. Yecheskel doesn't mean to fault them just that they did it, but rather it became a law of the land. So Chazal bring all sorts of laws that Stein passed that were terrible laws. So the Akeda wants to explain the Nekuda of the Rishas of Stone did not lay just in the Meisim Roim they did. It laid in something much deeper and much more encompassing. So first he'll explain how to give us the Peleg Shbegiva, and then he'll go on to back to this. Umikana temoitzit shuva l'choyne l'anshia giva. This is an explanation. This helps us understand the story of Pelegish Begiva. Pelegish Begiva, what happened was they attacked the Pelegish. They were boiled her. She died because of it, and so on. Kim nogu kim nageim b'shnei yonim ritzayni b'chlois regal oivim hashavu beta nevela zeis kimoyim nevela zneim hine loy hoyel ze lahem dova mize b'tzuma datis. Anshistoim, had the laws been righteous, but people did averis, it would have been like any other country where people do averis get a punishment, because Baruch Hu is minus them. The Akedah says like this: Pelegish Begiva wasn't the avera that was done was a bad avera, but that only would affect the people that did it. The fact that the public didn't care, the fact that the local dayonim and shayftim and shevet didn't care about it, turned it from being a personal avera to a public avera. And therefore, he says, and this was the same true. This is true about any time that there are yechidim that do averis. If people are parrots, they drink aynesech, gvina shalakum, and so on. Shehelem ein hashoiftim v'manhigim matoison kilmatomeredin, and the lack of protest or the lack of response from shoiftim manhigim makes it presents it as if it's okay. They're doing their various. Nobody cares about it. Shekva hafchu baze chatois hayochid chatois atziv mechlalam. This turns a personal aver into public aver. In other words, a silent, tacit acknowledgement or lack of protest from a tzibur on a yachid means that this is rightfully considered the aver of the tzibur. Pelegish Begiva, some people did a terrible thing, and the silence of the tzibur turned it into their aver. And he brings here an extraordinary historical fact. There were many times when I was involved with this. They had prostitutes. that people, plenty of people visited them, and Rabbanim didn't say much. In his generation, in this is the 1400s, v'loyoid, not only didn't they protest, they were quite okay with it. They kind of said, you got to accept it. Not only that, they would actually give them a stipend, the Zaynis. They said, a good cheshmen. They said, listen, the options are, else they're going to find an Eishes Ish, which is much worse, halachically, or goyim. Mutav sheva lav zeh mishuv deisa skills. So at least they're doing less of an avera. That was a firm cheshbon. So he said he had this public issue where this was a common enough practice, and it was kind of nodded at and even encouraged because they're saving people from worse issa. I remember when I was a young boy, I guess a teenager, a young boy, there was a movement in the more modern communities in New York to have a mikveh for single girls. With the cheshbon being that this right now they're being marshal people with nida, after go be toivol, they'll just be nisa pnuya. It's the same logic applies to it. The difference between a yachid, and this is what he says, v'ani dantel ze pomim rabus ifneim fneig doleim v'izbarti lehem. And he said, I argued them, shachet ha-godl, asher yavol of eishes ish beis yisrael b'seisa, v'shoyed ha-sam sham. If somebody is over an issa with an eishes ish that we don't know about, chadas yachidu, it's his problem, it's his avera, and he's going to have to face his punishment either in Gehenim or, you know, if there's a bezin, he gets misa. But no one else is guilty. If had the bezin stood up and punished just these people, then that would have been the end of it. The Pelegish Begiver caused almost the entire Shevet Binyamin to be wiped out. Omnam, he says, Hacheta Kotten, the smallest Avera, Kishiaskimol of Das Rabim, when people sort of consent, Vadas Nitnam Bebotinem Shemichoispoi, and it's official policy not to protest, Hine Huzima Bavarimplila Vratza Kol Kuloi. It becomes the chet of the entire tzibur. And then everyone suffers the consequence. So he says the real avera stoim wasn't the particular bad that each person did. It was the fact that this was enshrined in the laws. So even the person who didn't do X, Y, or Z, but the tzibur as a tzibur had enacted these as laws. Sheheimu batedinim shalem iskimu, shalo lahachzik yad oni vevyoi. So, v'lechein hu toiv umutav, she yichusso yisuf yisqa chatoi meim nashoysam, mishetoko yisachta toaz ganam. So better let peace, so the cheshbon that we have, let's say with the Eishes Ish, we're saying that, you know what? We want to save this person from an aver Eishes Ish, so we're going to be, you know, kind of nod and wink at the Isser of Pnuyas and so on. So he said, it's not true. If they do averis that are not on the public radar screen, they're not, there's no kind of consent from the public, and certainly no encouragement, it's their problem. They'll suffer their misa. But if we are going to be masking to something and be person doesn't get what I'm saying, has no chelik in understanding Torah and so on. Very, very powerful statement. And Lamaise, it leads to a lot of questions and issues. I want to just say some. And it's not always clear. So we have Lamaise in Eretz Yisrael, there's a constant, there's no end to protests against everything and everybody and so on. And certainly from a tactical point of view, it's one could say worthless, if not worse. But the question is, at what point do I become a party by silence? So Lamaise, let's give an example. Imagine the government permits public transportation on Shabbos. And I know they have the votes, and it's something that I can't do anything about. Is keeping quiet correct or not? Am I not sort of consenting? At least, and again, I'm not talking about making fires or anything, but saying just the public is saying this is bad and it's terrible and we disagree, and take a very strong public stance in terms of that. What do we do when we have, and this is much more complex, when you have a place that's a kiruv place, you have a shul that's in kiruv and people will drive there for Shabbos, the parking lot is open. So there are different ways. The fact that if every single person did something wrong on his own, then fine. There's halachas of lifta. Even not that again, that goes to the world of halacha. That's not really what he's talking about. But if there's a place that as a public mesid, it allows for parking on Shabbos. Is that not, on the other hand, proclaiming that it's not terrible? It's a very tough balance sometimes. When do I say that this becomes, in fact, a public approval? What does it take? Sometimes it's easier, sometimes it's trickier. But this point is saying that, so Lamaise, let's give an example. If let's say people come to the shul on Shabbos and you provide valet parking for them, so that some of the isser is done by a goy. I'm just kind of throwing out, okay. Well, so the argument that I'm saving them from more isserim, but by providing the service, you're making a statement that this is appropriate, that the tzibur as a tzibur certainly doesn't mind. I don't know. It's not something easy to make a klal about. But this is a very important factor that Akeda says over here. Anything which the tzibur seems to agree becomes their charge. It becomes something that is their liability simply by giving at least the impression that they're agreeing to it. Okay, let's see. One more piece here. This is the Rambam. Next piece, the Mor Nevuchim. It says, "My malat shomek leuchalas is dabat baruch hashama al kein kor shema yitzora." For bi'anu sheet of shem malach, we should koyla scholim lagalgalim bayisoidis ki chulam oisim mitzvah. So the Rambam explains that the concept malach includes any agent of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings the wind that blows down a house, that's also an agent of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If a river floods and floods over a town, the Mabul. So these are all agents of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's the difference between a malach that's called a malach and everything in nature which is called Shlucha HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And malach includes in the Rambam all major, all ruchnis, tikkakochas, scholem, and vdolem, and so on. So he says like this, Aval tarsha shagal galim vascholim kidmush tagasagash Hashem tevas yigulosim. Aval hagal galim vascholim masigim poliseim uboharim umanhigeim. Now, scholem, two things. First of all, the scholem are sentient entities. They feel, they're conscious of what it is that they're doing. So you can speak in terms of the malach, wanting, knowing, thinking. The water is not sentient, and it just floods, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. A malach is a being that has a tfisa atzmis, a self-awareness. And then he says they also have a level of bechira. By us, the bechira is much more widespread. We can choose from A to Z, to be tzaddik and gdolim, to be chasron v'shoim gemurim, to do this and that. By us, bechira is our person is bechira, unless a Kadosh Baruch Hu cuts it. It's the other way around. A Kadosh Baruch Hu has to step in and cut it down. Kvar sifra turn yonim irun al ze oma malach aloit kele uchalas is dova v'omo loy linotzle hina sasif benar gam dova ze. There's a conversation here about what I can do for you, what I can't do for you. I've done enough for you. I can't go further than that. V'omo loy linotzle hina hina sasif benar gam dova ze v'omo hishama impano v'shma b'koil al tamavoy kele yisip ish'achem kishmi b'kirbot. So you have different psukim that indicate that a malach has some level of discretionary power. So first of all, there's clear that there's an awareness. And they have a certain level of bechira. So the Rambam says their bechira lies in a certain discretionary power in how to go about doing something, but they don't have bechira between toiv and ra. That is the Rambam shita, and in the psukim you don't find any place where it says that malachim chose to do bad. In Chazal you find different expressions of, you know, because of this, they threw him out of the mechitza and they hit and this and that. In Chazal, you find expressions of ki'ilu malachim choosing not to do right and so on. That needs to be explained. The Rambam does not hold like that. The Rambam says that malachim, they have a very narrow scope of bechira. The scope of bechira pertains in how to go about doing whatever they're supposed to do. They do good always. And this point of the Rambam is really an explanation for it. The Rambam in his three words explains why it's like that. Bechira is a way of bringing out potential in us. In other words, if I am totally good, then the good I do is there. And b'meila, so if I wind up a clock and the clock ticks, the ticking of the clock is really there. It's not really bringing out potential in a full sense of the word. So for us, the bechira of tov and ra is to bring ourselves out. So as we struggle, the bad is covering up the good. And when we struggle, we chip away at the shell. A bear is called klipos. So just like a little chick pecks away at the shell and it breaks open and he steps out, we peck away at the shell that covers us. So we have to do a lot more than pecking. We've got a lot of hard work to do. But when we do it, we step out. That's who we are. Malachim don't have it. So we're b'koyach halapoel. We are people who have potential that has to come out, and that's what bechira is. Malachim don't have that, so they have a limited bechira in how to go about doing what their mission is. It does need a hesbo. Why is that given? Why is it important? If Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to bring a flood, water comes and floods. Why do we need to have this this type of bria that has a limited form of bechira. I don't know. That's not clear in the Rambam. But I'll upon him, that's the Rambam's raya from here. And the other psukim, where there's the mashmos, on the one hand, that they have some discretionary power. On the other hand, you don't find instances. Again, the filim, these are all chazal. Wherever you find bad malachim, uzav uziel, all these bad malachim and bad stories are chazal. They're not the psukim. Not clear how the Rambam learns them. Okay, a good fach.
Does the Rambam address the Agadita about the Malach Mavet retrieving the wrong Miriam?
No, the Rambam does not. And again, the Rambam has a shita. First of all, he learns up Chazal differently. I mean, when he brings Chazal that he finds are puzzling or not like he holds, he'll explain them. And the Rambam, a lot of times, will say that certain deos are das yichidah. The Rambam says in Agadita you can also find deos of Amoraim that you don't pass them like. That's a shita that he's in different places. He's got Zman and other places, but doesn't explain that. So not the best man doesn't explain that Chazal. Okay, Agutvach.